Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Gindin. I am the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries Texas, and I am here with my good friend and ministry partner, Lori Arnold.
Hey, friends.
And we are so glad that you are here and joining us on our podcast today. And we have been in a series we launched a few weeks ago regarding the church and being the church and what it kind of looks like in real life and how, unfortunately, sometimes in the world today, we don't really understand what the Bible says about the church or living it out. And how it impacts our lives. And it's just a topic that both Lori and I are very passionate about, not just because we work at the church, but I think, you know, Lori, I think it's safe to say, like, just how the influence that church, the people that we do life with, have influenced us.
Yeah.
And getting to do those things. And so our hope with this series specifically, and even today's kind of lesson, if you will, that we're going to go through, is that people grow in their understanding of the church and what Jesus meant by those terms. And when he used that powerful statement in Matthew 16, that he will build his church and that to be able to see his church go and storm the gates of hell. And so I think that's, you know, something for all of us to grow and to understand and to learn. And so if you have missed those previous episodes, I would encourage you all to go back to listen to those and to check those out and any of our previous episodes to be able to begin listening to those and sharing those with your friends. And so today, Lori, we are going to look at the church as a family. It's so often in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit directs the writers of the New Testament to using that kind of language. Paul frequently uses kind of family wording, mother to children and parents and all of those kind of language. Adoption, we are adopted into the family. And so we're going to look at some of those today and the implications of that. And so I'm actually going to read from two places in Scripture, and I want to do something a little different on this episode. I'm going to challenge everybody that's listening to kind of listen with the lens of family and the church, what the family, how the church is the family, and kind of the implications of that when I read these two passages. I'm first going to read from Acts chapter 2. That is describing the church, how they are behaving and treating each other and what that looks like. And so again, as I read that, let's listen to it with the lens of family and the behavior of a family. And so let me read this passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Amen. That's Acts 2, 42 through 47. I want to read one more passage. And this is, you know, later when the church has expanded and it's now out in different regions of the world, and specifically now in the city of Thessalonica, the church is born and growing and become a very powerful impact in that region of the world. But I want us to pay close attention to Paul's language when he is writing to them. And I'm going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, our very lives, because you had become so very dear to us. Amen. Now, I know, Lori, that not all of us come from, or sometimes we can come from very unhealthy families, broken family situations. Yeah. Some that are listening might be dealing with some broken family situations right now. But the Bible provides for us a picture, in construction terms, like a plumb line, like that keeps us straight and square, yeah, that we can put our lives up against. And the Bible describes this people functioning as a family together. Now, they had their mistakes. People were there. Paul had to write a lot of letters that corrected some of those mistakes, challenged it, and it's people are people. But we get a picture of what the church, the family of God, is to look like. And so as we start into this today, what are some thoughts that you had? I know church as a family has had a big effect and impact on you.
Yeah.
And so maybe just kind of share some thoughts you have on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to piggyback on what you just said, because I was thinking about that. Just how many people are in, they would call dysfunctional families, mm-hmm, you know, and the church can look like that for some. And you might be in a place right now that your church looks like that, the church that you're in, or even just the group that you're in right now. But praise God that his word, he tells us how to navigate those situations and how we are to love one another, how we are to forgive one another when we're in those kind of situations. Because family, whether we are talking about the church family or your biological family at home, you're going to have some tension because
yeah,
we're people, sure. Yep. You know. And I heard it once said, you know, church would be a lot easier if it weren't for the people.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and ministry would be a lot easier if it weren't for the people. But without the people, you can't have either one.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're going to have hard times. But the key, the glue is Jesus Christ. And that is how we are going to navigate the challenges that we come to. And that's how we grow as well. You know?
Yeah.
As for me, I am so grateful to be a part of a church family. And right now I'm talking about my local church, okay? My local church body, that I have relationships. My husband and I have relationships with other families, with other individuals that have been our family to us, you know, and we are bonded in Christ. And that is a type of bond that is, it's hard to say this because I believe this, but I know that a lot of others struggle with this, but I believe that is greater than any other. And if you're one of my family members, that might be hard for you to hear too, you know, one of my biological family members. But that bond in Christ Jesus is so, it is eternal,
right?
You know, so it is so great. Mm-hmm. And we are supposed to love one another just as Jesus loves us, you know. Right. And so he has given us the tools, he has given us the example, and he's been very clear about it. There's one passage I was reading, Matthew 12:49-50 says, "And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'"
Ooh,
like, that is his family. That is, we are his family. When we are disciples of Jesus, we have been adopted into his family.
Right.
You know, and what a gift, what a blessing that no matter what your background, no matter where you come from, no matter what your social status is, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We are all a part of the family of God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I celebrate that. I celebrate that I do have that here. A while back, we had a friend of mine on the podcast, Rachel, and that's only one of the several examples that I could give of how, you know, a church member or somebody who is a believer, and they don't even have to be at this church, because the church, as we talked about
the
before,
big C church.
It's bigger than just these four walls, you know?
Yeah.
But there have been countless times that, and it's not only when there's a need, but those are the moments that I notice the most. A lot of times, you know, it's those times that I've either been afraid to ask for help and people have just stepped in and done it. Or when I do have to ask for help or whatever, my church family is there to help carry the load.
Yeah.
And I really can't imagine living life any other way and doing this on my own without that family of believers surrounding me.
For sure. I mean, when you were talking, I was thinking even, I have my men's group mm-hmm. in the morning and typically before we do this podcast. And I was in my men's group this morning and we finished group and the guys are all leaving and one of the guys kind of stays back and he says, "Hey, I have a question." And I know some of the things that he's been wrestling with, and he and I have teenagers about the same age. Yeah. And we begin a dialogue about something that they're wrestling with in their family is very, very similar to what we wrestled through with our kids. Yeah. One in particular. And so we had this very similar issue in common. And he started asking me questions about what we did and how we navigated that. And next we're talking about Bible verses and what the Bible says about us as parents and raising mm-hmm. our kids and what we're to do. And so we're processing scripture. And we even kind of made some jokes about the gap between us as dads and what the scripture says, us trying to kind of measure up and live that out. And we just processed this I'll never forget it. We're kind of getting to the end and he had to get to work and he kind of puts both of his hands in his pockets and takes this big deep breath. He goes, "Oh, phew." I said, what was that all about? He goes, "I just don't feel alone."
Yeah.
And I said, "Amen." And I told him, I said, "You know, there's two things you said. I said that I'm going to really think about today because you're probably doing this better than me." Mm-hmm. We were able to be family, yeah. like talk through this issue together, talk about, you know, parenting our teenagers, and that are right on the edge of really adulthood and leaving the home and some of the things that our kids were struggling with. And it was just this beautiful conversation of being the family together.
Yeah.
And I think about that because sometimes the church creates a culture that where that doesn't exist. And when it's all wrapped into Sunday morning, it's about attending church and going to a service. And that's the extent of a building and a Sunday morning service. And that's the extent of people's experience about Sunday.
Yeah.
You'll never have the conversations that we had after small group about, you know, parenting and marriage and application of the word of God. And that's being a disciple and making disciples. Yeah. And that's that process. And I said, never have it. You know, that's probably too strong, but it's very difficult and probably rare.
Yeah.
You know, to have it. And so, you know, my thought I wanted to throw back to you is, you know, your thought on this, cause we hear people say this, you know, I can, you know, I'm okay with Jesus. I can do God. I can do Jesus, but I can't do his people.
Mm.
You know, my church is in the woods. You know, I've heard that one before. Yeah. My church is out on a boat. It's all something where they're alone and they're not, cause they don't want to be with God's people. And I get the hard part, right? Like it's can be tough.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on that? Because that's a common view about I can be good with Jesus, but I don't need to be good with his people.
I mean, yeah, it can be tough, but it's not biblical. So
bugaboo, isn't there? You know, it's not biblical.
It's not biblical. It's not even what Jesus showed us. It's not what was modeled, as you just read in Acts 2, like, they did all these things together. It said they went to the temple together. They were also in each other's homes. Yeah. Like they were being the church together. You can't do it by yourself.
Right.
You know, God, the commands that he gave, you know, love God and love others. Mm-hmm. And he didn't separate them. Like you have to do both. Right. You have to.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, there's the obedience piece of it, but there's also the fact that it works.
Right.
You know, I had a friend who was pretty down the other day and I saw her at church and, I asked her, you know, "How are you doing?" And she shook her head like, "No." And I was like, "Okay, got it." Mm-hmm. It wasn't the time to talk and that's okay. But when we talked later on this week, I was like, what could we have done differently then?
Mm.
And, we finally got, I kind of had to help her see mm-hmm. this part, but I said, if you would have come to me, we could have prayed together. We could have, like, it's okay. We can step aside. I can step aside. I can start the countdown, you know, 30 seconds later, whatever we need to do. Sure. But we could have stepped. I really can't do that though. let me be honest. I can't change the countdown, but I wanted her to know that I do care mm-hmm. and that's what we're here for.
Right.
You know, cause she had to carry this, or she felt as if she had to carry what she was going through by herself. And it was weighty,
yeah.
You know, and then we weren't even able to talk until later. Mm. And so I'm like, you know, this could have been eased a lot sooner. And that's the beautiful thing about this family of God, you know, that we can carry each other's burdens, that yeah. we can lift each other up, that we can encourage each other and hold each other accountable, you know, when we need to. And you just can't do it alone. It right. does not work that way.
Right. I mean, yes, not only does it not work, it was never intended. When Jesus describes his church and on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That term church is this group of called out people. The very definition and nature of it is that we are to be a part of this group of people that are called out. We're given a specific mission.
Yeah.
And so later, as we go through the New Testament and these different analogies of the church, is one of them is a family. And I think one of the things that I've learned is, yes, that group is on this mission to accomplish the Great Commission, but it's also designed to be this place for when people don't know what life looks like. Like, where do they go and get the model? Mm. Right? When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus was very broken people, very, you know, that had, I think, a lot of terrible experiences in life. May have come from prostitution, witchcraft, all kinds of things at in the city of Ephesus. And mm-hmm. and now they're part of this thing called the church. They're disciples of Jesus, but there's so many that don't know what does it look like to have a biblical marriage.
Yeah.
What does it look like to parent kids? What does it look like to be a husband or a wife? And all of these principles were so new to them. We're under this sometimes this illusion that if I tell somebody to read a book, or I tell them, well, just go read the Bible, and that's fine, that's good. But then you come away from go, well, how do I do that?
Yeah.
When it says to that husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Well, if most men, if I went to them and said, okay, that's what you need to do, the natural thing, they're going to look back at me and go, okay, what does that look like?
Right. Practically.
Practically in everyday life. What does that sacrifice look like? And I have found that more times than not is the hurdle is within the church is not whether or not somebody agrees it's true. It's the practical, like you said, what does that look like to walk that? I mean, you just walked through a really quick description. You saw your friend that was struggling. You knew by her body language right now wasn't the time.
Yeah.
But then you walked through a whole entire scenario that you were willing to push through, not give up, not just go, oh, well, she ignored me and you took your ball and went home or whatever. You misinterpret whatever. And there's so many things in there that you did that are biblical, like pushing through and caring about her and setting yourself aside and reaching up back out and all of those things. It's being family.
Yeah.
And that's just a beautiful picture of, you know, seeing that. And I described myself, one of the guys from my group. Of being able to sit there and have those conversations and push through it and talk through it. None of those things, like I said, happen if we don't understand that we're family and we commit to it and be intentional and work through it.
Yeah.
And so we can't just go, my church is out on the boat. Right. My church is on a mountain. My church is wherever. That's just not biblical and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So final thoughts, things that you've, you know, thought through in this that, experiences or wherever that you would want to share with our listeners?
I would say, you know, you just mentioned about pushing through, you know, pushing through. And sometimes it takes those hard conversations and kind of, I think about it like this. I know that everybody has their own situation with their family, their mm-hmm. biological family at home, but typically brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and, you know, the kids, like typically they are still at the end of the day, like people say, blood is thicker than water. Like, they're at the end of the day, like, that's still my sister. You know, even though she's made me upset, that's still my sister. Mm-hmm. That's how we should be treating each other in the church, too.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people compartmentalize those. And it's like, well, no, but this is my family. Like, that's my sister. Mm-hmm. So, right. No, I'll go through whatever for her. Right. But then when we're talking about somebody who's not our biological family member, and so a member in the church who has upset us for whatever reason, it can be very easy to just write them off and forget about it and walk away from the relationship.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly not what we are supposed to do, you know? Right. And Jesus wants us to be unified body. Mm-hmm. We are to walk unified together,
right?
You know? So I think that's something that I want to challenge everyone in. I know I challenge myself in that way too. Mm-hmm. You know, would I do this with another family member, like a family member that I've had for years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that's it.
That's great. And I think understanding going, I know that it's not easy, and it takes work, and it takes, you know, commitment and intentionality and all those things. But I really love what you said there. And I would really like to kind of wrap up on that is, you know, in the early church, when we see how they treated each other, they had their issues, they had conflict and all of those things. But when you're selling your possessions and goods and giving to anyone that has need, when you're meeting from house to house, when you're, they did treat that as like a blood relationship. Yeah. And I mean, we can even draw the analogy, the blood relationship we have is the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would probably contend that is stronger than physical blood, even though I love my family and I'm grateful and all of those things, but I would want their commitment.
Yes.
To Christ,
yes.
To be even stronger,
yes.
Than their commitment to their biological family. Because yes. I think if that's in the right order, now we're being the church and everything else falls in place.
Your biological family falls into place.
Right, yeah. right. And so that's great, Laura. I appreciate you sharing some of that and your recent stories. And so our hope is for everybody to consider what it looks like to walk as the church, as the family, and to do our part to best live that out in our everyday walk with Jesus. And so, well, we look forward to our next episode together. Again, encourage you all to share this with friends and family and post it in social media and help us to get this podcast out to people and being able to take scripture and just be real and walk together. So God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.